Chapter 4, The Miannis. In 1937, Angoris had been purchased by Maxo Refice, a Venetian Jewish entrepreneur who, due to the racial laws promulgated the following year, would suddenly sell everything, moving to Quito, Ecuador. So in 1939, a story begins, starting from the autarchic and colonial economy of Mussolini's Italy, and arrives at the Dolce Vita of the post-war period. Today, they are called gossip. All of us read or know about them through television, but in the 1940s, this didn't exist yet. Social gatherings were perhaps more impetuous than today. Animating the Roman salons and Count Luigi Miani of Angoris was never absent. Indeed, as a wealthy oil tanker and husband of Beatrice de Dampier, therefore brother-in-law of the heir to the throne of Spain and France, he opened his home in the Italian capital in Monte Mario and his country villa in Cormons. Let's take a step back. Originally from Martignacco, Udine, the Miani brothers owned the Porfina refinery in Rome. It had been founded in 1926 as ABCD, asphalt, bitumen, tar, and derivatives, and made them a fortune selling asphalt for the building of military roads in Ethiopia. ABCD later became Permolio, starting the first real refining. It was an oil company with which, in 1937, they had also bought the Raffineria Genovese Petroli. Giuseppe was the president, Luigi and Orlando were the CEOs. Sources of the time say that the Miani brothers owned refineries in Rome, Genova, and Milan, covering 5% of the overall national production, with other 70,000 tons being produced annually. They were successful entrepreneurs who also favored the fortune of others. In the first half of the 1930s, Angelo Moratti worked for them. After settling in Civitavecchia and putting his network at the service of his new employers and the distribution of their products, he left in 1933 to start his own business. In the fascist Italy of that time, there was a great fervor. In Rome, in 1938, Juan Carlos of Bourbon was born. Even the cousins of the future King of Spain, Alfonso and Gonzalo, had been born in the Eternal City, the first in 1936 and the second the following year. Their maternal grandfather was a Prince Ruspoli, and his uncle was precisely Count Luigi Miani, in whose villa, on December 8, 1946, they received their first communion. This villa, from which you can see the nearby Dome of San Pietro, was purchased in 1939 by Luigi Miani. On 19 January 1940, he married the younger sister of Emmanuel de Dampierre, wife of the infant of Spain, Giacomo Enrico. Legitimate pretender to the throne of France with the name of Henry VI and pretender to the throne of Spain under the name of James IV. These few historical notes already give us a glimpse of the life that led the Mianis in the high society of the time, and in particular Luigi. However, the countryside must have remained in their hearts, since in 1918 they sold an ancient distillery and the adjacent manor house in Cerezetto di Martignacco, a town at the feet of one of the most beautiful hills of Friuli. Thus, in the same year in which he buys the villa in Monte Mario, Luigi buys, through the SACTA, Società Anonima Conduzioni e Trasformazioni Agricole, based in Venice, the Angoris estate in Cormons. The return of the Miani brothers to their native region gave a sort of emotional impetus, a return to the origins, and their industriousness immediately became concrete, also in Cormons. They commissioned the well-known Roman architect, Tullio Rossi, to restore and furnish the villa, built by the Locatellis 2 centuries earlier, as well as to renovate the annex. For them, Rossi also designs the Villa in Cortina in 1937 and 2 houses in Milan in 1955. In the last years of the war, the bloodiest and most tormented of the peninsula, Field Marshal Albert Kesselring frequented Villa Miani in Monte Mario, but he was not the only one. General Enrico Cabiglia, Marshal of Italy, Senator and former Minister, was also at home, as he recalls in his diary, on December 31st, 1942, when he was in Rome, and wrote, Tonight, with Piera, we will end the year by our neighbors of Montemario, the Miani Counts. Cavilla was a fundamental figure after September 8, 1943, the day he arrived in Rome after a holiday in Finale Ligure. Seeing the situation, he immediately asked for an audience with the king. Cavilla was Knight of the Supreme Order of the Santissima Annunziata, and therefore cousin of the king, to whom he could speak openly. And with a protocol of precedence which put him before all the offices of the state. He had a date fixed for the following morning. On the evening of the 8th, around 8 p.m., I arrived at the Villa dei Conti Miani on Monte Mario, in front of the Marabout where I live. He was invited to lunch, surely embellished with Angoris wines. While with the kind and graceful Countess coming to meet me, I approached the living room, where her husband was already, I heard Badoglio's voice on the radio, speaking of an armistice concluded with the Anglo-Americans and ending by urging the armed forces not to attack more the Allies, but to defend against attacks from other directions. More than an armistice, this is a true capitulation. What will happen tonight? What will the Germans do? In Italy, there were about 20 German divisions, four of which around Rome, with as many Italians facing them, a task superior to their strength. I took my leave of my guests, and, thinking to myself about the situation, I went back to my marabout and went to bed. The great organizational difficulties and those expected and the possibility of defending Rome led Cavilla to accept the ultimatum imposed by Albert Kesselring on 10 September 1943. Kesselring ordered the disarmament of the troops and the declaration of the capital as an open city, an agreement that took place in the living rooms of Villa Miani. Luigi did not neglect the great estate that extended, today as then, between Cormons and Medea. Thus, irrigation works commenced, arrangement and renovation of the vineyards, implanting of orchards, almost a victorious post-fascist battle of the wheat. A battle that will bring Angoris, after the war, to become the flagship of the agriculture and viticulture in Friuli. Between 1944 and 1949, the power line was extended from Angoris to Villa Orba and Monticello. The Cormons Aqueduct, built from two Brazzano wells, was also extended to the hamlets of Borgnano, Medea, Angoris, Monticello and Villa Orba. The creators of this were the various farmers, winemakers and directors of Angoris, starting with Romolo Valentini to Franco De Rosa to Ambrogio Padovani. 100 employees and 500,000 bottles produced. A brand that made itself known among the VIPs during the years of the Italian economic miracle, even in Cinecittà. In October 1947, Tyrone Power, famous sex symbol of American cinema since the 1930s, arrived in Rome. As seen in a film from the Istituto Luce, having just landed, Power looks out of the window of the plane's command post, waving, and then is greeted by the crowd of fans waiting for him at the airport. In another clip, still wearing stage costumes, he spills a glass of wine on himself. He was married to the French actress Annabella, but already engaged to someone else. Actor as his London father and grandfather, who was also a mine merchant, and as the anonymous Irish great-grandfather. He enchanted Hollywood on the Tiber, where Luigi Miani had notable frequentations. Between them, a solid friendship will be born. So much so that on January 26, 1949, a few days before his wedding with Linda Christian, the famous couple arrived in Rome and was hosted at the Miani Villa. The Count organized there a gala dinner in their honor, toasting with Angoris wines. There is a 1.5-minute short film where you can see the engaged couple in evening dresses arriving at the reception. Then, next to another couple, young women in evening dress sitting on the sofa with cups in hand, waiters serving the Angoris wines, while Christian and Power chat with Count Rudy Crespi, star of the international jet set. 2 days later, on the 28th of January, Luigi Miani will even be the best man. We're talking about the most popular wedding of those years, the first major post-war media event to have international prominence. The ambassadors of the United States and Holland were both there. The couple will be seen by Pope Pio XII. Linda Christian wore a dress made by the Fontana sisters, paid an exorbitant amount of money, and received a decoration from Argentine sent to her by Juan Domingo Perón. Among the 300 guests, there was also the staff of the 20th Century Fox and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, plus the Roman aristocracy. Only the wedding of Elizabeth of England, celebrated just over a year earlier, had been on the same level. Even the carnations that adorned the nave of the Basilica of Santa Francesca Romana were supplied by the same florists who decorated the Cathedral of Westminster. The famous Romina Power was born in 1951. The Angoris wine flows in rivers and a close relationship with the world of cinema begins. Or in Palm Beach on January 30th, 1950, according to an American gravure. In 1952, Power is probably in Trieste, shooting The Diplomatic Courier. Not surprisingly, in 1957, Angoris will host the crew of Addio alle Armi, or better, A Farewell to Arms. Perhaps it was thanks to the acquaintance with the big names of Hollywood at the Power Christian wedding, if the producer David O. Selznick and his wife, the actress Jennifer Jones, arrived in Friuli and Cormons. Jones played the part of Catherine Barclay in the movie, the English nurse who the young protagonist, Lieutenant Frederick Henry, Rock Hudson, falls in love with. The whole cast settled in the villa, including the director Charles Vidor, Vittorio De Sica, Alberto Sordi, and many others. On the other hand, on the presence of Hemingway himself in Cormons, there is only the memory of a secretary who claims to have seen him. What is indisputable is the friendship that bound him to the owners of Angoris, so much so that they also received a hunting rifle as a gift from them. On the estate, there was a wonderful reserve, teeming with animals since nobody went hunting, except for Orlando Miani, and recently some of his children, two or three times a year. Speaking of animals, there was also a real zoo, with a lion, monkeys, llamas, and many other exotic beasts, thanks to Joseph's megalomania. Not to mention the 250 horses of the Miani stables, which competed in San Siro. The gallant life is also narrated in the newspaper Caffè Satirico, Satirical Coffee. For a Gavotti Verospi, 2 Gisler Marazzi. For a Gironda Veraldi, 5 Miani Angoris. A Miciatelli Mocenigo Soranzo fades in the arms of a Martini Carissimo of Castel Gravido. The love of the Miani for their land is also revealed by the fact that in 1961 they help the Fogolar Furlano of Turin to participate in the Enological Gastronomic Exhibition, or Wine Fair, as the people from Turin called it. Next to the Musette con la Bruade, the soups, the Travesio cheeses, the sausages of Cividale and Spilimbergo, and the San Daniele ham, as we read on the April 1961 issue of Friuli nel Mondo, 5 girls in typical costume, called by Flaibano, waited for the administration of the exquisite wines of Friuli, Tokaj, Merlot, Traminer, Pinot Bianco, and Grigio, from the Count Miani of Angoris. The simplicity of the gatherings of people from Friuli in the world is alternated with trips to Florida, and in 1955, the Palm Beach Daily News interviewed Luigi on another passion. Conosciuto come Angoris e situato nella sua tenuta di 10.000 acri vicino a Milano, il suo allevamento ha circa 500 corridori puro sangue. Amo i miei cavalli, più di qualsiasi altra cosa al mondo, affermò Miani, e se uno di loro si ammala o ferisce, non posso fare a meno di occuparmene personalmente. San Siro? Ah, Sister Filomena of San Siro? But no, the race course, shouted Miani to the deaf Colonel Danilut, who was supposed to go get hay. In the mid-1800s, the Cormon's livestock consisted of 347 oxen, 174 cows, 19 calves, 47 donkeys, and 176 horses. Horses? If the hero of the 30 Years' War was peditum colonellus, or infantry, others after him were horsemen. Baron Pirro Locatelli de Hagenauer was one of the best among them, had made military service in the Austro-Hungarian cavalry, and, although he had suffered an accident due to a fall from a horse, he never wanted to part with his last beautiful black purebred, which remained at Angoris until his natural death. Horses, such as those of Count Miani's stables, the purebreds breeding, which the Count was passionate about, was in the rural parts annexed to the villa. The post-war years were the years when the racecourses of San Siro, Mirafiori, Cascina, Parioli and Capannelle gathered crowds in their enclosures that were unthinkable today. Corriere della Sera spoke of 50,000 spectators who gathered at the Capannelle on the day of the Derby to see Nearco. And characters of the aristocracy and the great bourgeoisie, many of whom passionate owners and breeders. As Mario Fossati, the great connoisseur of horse racing, said, "The paysage of the 30s was full of lords rather than rich. Tesio, De Montel, Fossati, Vancisa, Lucchino and Luigi Visconti, Gualino, Zanoletti, Mantovani, Gussi, Chantre, Lorenzini, Pirelli, Crespi, Miani, D'Azzara, Radice Fossati, Berlingeri, Castellini were the aces of horse racing. At races, they went to see, read, experiment, run, win, not to be seen." Scuderia Miani, as it was called, was already active at the beginning of the 1940s and wins the historic Corsa dell'Arno in Florence three times, in 1940 with Bolzano, in 1941 with Agreri, and then in 1954 with Enemonzo. In 1942, we find it in the Horse Racing Yearbook, and in the same year, in an issue of Nature Illustrated monthly magazine, we read that at the suggestive San Rossore racecourse had arrived large crowds, also from nearby Tuscan cities. All the enclosures are lively, an evident sign of the healthy passion for horse racing that is in the Pisa tradition. Federico Tesio and the staff of the Mantua team had arrived, to which are added the veterans of the Miani team from Naples, as well as Brignano and Amiterno. In 1946, in Le Grandi Prove Ippiche, the international yearbook for equestrian sports, we discover that Scuderia Miani, in third place, was very active and without collecting great prizes, it reached a considerable sum. A week later, in the Brianza Prize, 1,200 meters, a filly of a more modest category, Storella, Navarro, of the Scuderia Miani, offers its contribution to the prestige of young people by winning, albeit with a wider margin of weight, in front of Musagete and Fior di Pesco. Next to Moroni, the Scuderia Miani has a very interesting breeder in Nicolaus, born in 1939, from Salario and Nogara, therefore half-brother of Nearco and Nakamuro. A large part of the 40 mares of the Angoris Cattery will be reserved for the two important stallions. He also conquered the prestigious Italian Derby of the Capannelle in the presence of the President of the Republic. In the Golden Book of the Roman Hippodrome, it turns out, in fact, that in 1949, with a prize of 5 million lire, more than 90,000 euros, the Scuderia Miani won with the horse Golfo, mounted by the jockey Gabrielli. Also in Rome, the horses of the Counts of Angoris won the Parioli Prize in 1951, in 1957, and in 1959. And Vestro himself won the Guido Berardelli Prize in 1958. We are talking about prizes ranging from 4 to 6 million old lire, that is from 70,000 to 85,000 euros. The hobby of horse breeding certainly is not cheap. In Cormons, they raised an average of 100, but it made enough. Perhaps this pushes the Miani parallel to the gallop to enter in 1948, also in obstacle races. In 1951, we read in Agricultural Italy, the list of the winning stables in the two branches headed that of Mantua with over 65.5 million to its credit, including the prizes as breeder, followed by the Soldo breed with over 50, the Miani with almost 50, the Dormello Olgiata, and so on. The fame finds them even outside of Italy, and in 1966, after Luigi's death and during the selling of Angoris, the Bloodstock Breeders' Annual Review writes, "Tried out again at San Siro on a heavy track, he was well beaten by the Razza Dormello Olgiata Smartini. To take over the Razza Ticino, Serov will now be looked after by Antonio Pandolfi, former private trainer to the extinct Scuderia Miani." Empire was imported into Italy by Conte Luigi Miani in 1963, and Brioche belongs to his second crop. The year in which Angoris was purchased by Giulio Locatelli, 1968, the breeding of purebreds is over. Ribotto was gone, but a horse journalist still writes that, together with the Aterno and Neni stables from Zara, Miani was one of the largest Roman complexes capable of competing with the big names of the north. The jockeys are all top-notch. Saverio Pacifici, for example, won the Gran Criterium in Milan in 1946, a race for two-year-old horses from each country. On Este of the Miani race, writes the Sports Encyclopedia in 1967. As if the genealogy of horses born in Angoris over 30 years had given birth to an equine race. In 1999, the other Pandolfi, Ubaldo, a great gallop trainer, passed away in Milan at the age of 93. He was a master of the specialty, an authentic gentleman, and everyone remembered in newspapers and magazines of the sector that he trained the horses of Luchino Visconti, Count Miani, the breed of the Soldo and Lady M. Another legendary horse trainer, Luciano Dauria, born in 1934, recently gave an interview and smiled while his blue eyes flicker irreverently. His, writes the editor, is the story of a contrarian by vocation who declares, "I started because my father Antonio was a corporal at the Miani stable." Less famous is Antonio Colella from Trivento, Campobasso, born in 1937. He is said to be patient, honest, and says things as they are, even to the owners. A good that is thinning at an almost dramatic speed and leads the gallop to a sort of self-managed game unwillingly by the coaches themselves. Antonio Colella, in 25 years as a jockey and 24 as a trainer, has never had real champions. However, the school of Ubaldo and Tonino Pandolfi, together with the militancy from 1951 to 1962, in a historical stable like the Miani, have put in the condition of knowing, evaluating, deepening, and understanding. On Cavallo 2000, Ferdinando Angelotti, born in 1920, told of when in the 1950s a Brocchetta mare named Capri was found. Starting in a good level race in approximately 1,200 meters at Capannelle. The other three starters were the best sprinters on the market. Count Manzolini Zarzuma, mounted by Otello Fancera Sr. Caterina Dolphin of the Scuderia Mantova, mounted by Vincenzo Celli. Dina from Scuderia Miani, mounted by Vittorio Rosa. Obviously, there was no emotional tension for an outcome that seemed negatively obvious. Except that in the previous night, a flood broke out, which made the track very heavy. Problem: how to give orders to the jockey, a certain Proietti, named Scannagrilli? At the saddleback, Angelotti said to him, "Listen, let's go for the fourth place. Leave calmly, but keep your eyes open, because Dina, the mare of the Scuderia Miani, does not take a step on the heavy ground." Capri, instead, finished first. Following the end of his exciting and profitable horse racing adventure, the Miani stable in Rome was closed and transformed into the residence of the well-known building contractor Salvatore di Gresti. Today, to celebrate it, only one race remains held annually in Milan at the San Siro Racecourse, the Scuderia Miani Prize for horses of 3 years and above. In addition to the 100 horses, Angoris housed a sort of zoological garden, says the elderly farmer, with the famous lion Dolfo. I still have some old photos at home that portray the king of the forest with his tamer, and also with Mr. Ghisalberti. Yes, Giuseppe Ghisalberti. Then there were over 200 cows for milk, of course, goats, flamingos, emus, llamas. Unbelievably, the children from Mons came to see them. We don't deal with horse racing, passed a sentence Cavalier Locatelli, an industrialist with more than 1,000 employees, as soon as the estate was taken over. He tasted some wines and satisfied said, maybe you forgot it in the cellar for a few years, but this is the real pure breed, the Pignolo. Chapter 6. Wines. The frequent presence of white wine inserted with fussiness in Marianna Locatelli's recipes was not without reason, and the simple explanation that the area was always rich in vineyards is not enough. Vineyards and land in Langoris were already in the possession of the Locatelli family as documented in 1628. Catalogued in the inventories of bequests and inheritances coming from important families of the area, from the Attems, from the Pancera, and from the Neuhaus, as well as from the Colombicchio. This name was not new to Carlotta. It reminded her of a vacation, the sea. But yes, Amalia de Colombico, she was the wife of Dr. Marchesini, Podestà of Grado. She met them while healing on the beach before the outbreak of the war. She was a teenager, perhaps it was the year 1910. A list of the properties of the Colombicchio family passed to the Locatellis in 1664, Langoris Boiatina and the Braida of Modolette. This made annually just over 83 liters of Consi Uno wine. If Langoris and Boiatina were, during the Great War, the site of gun batteries 254, under the orders of the 11th Army Corps, Modolette would have then become the synonym of bubbles. In fact, this is where the Bianco Brut Charmat method gets its name from. It is the farm from which the grapes used for sparkling wine come. A vinification method of which Langoris has been the pioneer in Friuli since 1973. There was also a testament from 1675, that of Antonio Locatelli, to the heirs he left the Dominical House of Borgnano with its cellar, several pounds of olio, the Prado of Borgnano, the vineyard, the Monticello Prado, and the Follatoio. And here is what the Colussi and the Tacco have left to the Locatellis. It contains a small family tree, half to Mrs. Locatelli and her daughters. We're talking about the Coglio, what we now call Coglio, and wine barrels. White, black, and ribolla. This is the inheritance of Maddalena Colussi, married to Bartolomeo Locatelli and Giacomo's mother. Another ancient parchment mentions a piece of land from Montisello, a field in Langoris called Delle Piantuzza, and olio stones. The bond with wine begins when the Locatellis move from Gradisca to Cormons. Then the leader Locatello comes into the scene. Once returned home, he received the donation of 300 fields to be separated from the municipal assets of Cormons. A compromise solution due to the lack of funds in the imperial coffers. As already mentioned, the alienation of the municipal lands aroused lively reactions between nobles and commoners of Cormons, bordering on the riot. The separation of the fields and the relative transfer of ownership was complete only 10 years later, after disputes, protests, and vain measurements. Still, in 1747, in a letter to the Provincial States, Giorgio and Andrea Locatelli claimed not to possess the whole sum of 300 fields dispensed by virtue of a very Caesarian royal resolution to the late Baron Locatello, our predecessor. Thus, the new possession of the Locatelli included roughly the whole town of Novali. Among the vineyards, at the crossroads of the road that leads from Plessiva to Cormons, they built a manor house. The 300 fields were called Schönfeld, which means nice field, while the house was given the name of Eulenburg, Owl House, referring to the family crest in which stood an owl. Despite the complaints, the production of wine was already active. On the 21st of May 1658, the captain of Gorizia, Ernesto Federico of Herbenstein, thanked in a letter Antonio Locatelli for the wine given to him, hoping to receive the honor of serving it to you at my own table. Not all the captains of the city were, however, so polite. Franz von Stubenberg defined the Locatelli of Cormons as a race of boors, describing Coronini as an infamous thief, and apostrophized Strasoldo, a little prick. Many data have reached us thanks to the universal book compiled by Francesco Locatelli, 1656 to 1725, from 1676 to his death. Francesco was the nephew of Locatello, son of his brother Antonio, and Lisetta of Neuhaus. He had a large number of offspring, and the second son, Carlo Antonio, after abandoning his studies, let himself go to a wild life. On the eve of Pentecoste, in 1709, something happened that would have marked the life of his rebellious son forever, who was 17 at the time. Drunk, he killed a person, and after a few years in prison, released, he implemented the decision he had gained during his detention. After obtaining the canonical dispensation, he undertook theology studies, and in 1715 was ordained a priest. Later, he became an Augustinian monk in Udine and died in late age. Beyond this fact, the Locatellis always had a fair and balanced attitude towards the farmers. It is no coincidence that the last written document among its papers is an appeal against the treasury in defense of its settlers from Novali. The main revenue was represented by the annual sale of the wine. The Novali vineyards, planted in fertile and sheltered land, guaranteed excellent wine production. In the Universal Book, Francesco Locatelli transcribed a very detailed note of the quantity of Ribollas and Terrani wines that I made every year, in which the characteristics of each vintage are recorded punctually from 1688 until 1724. For some years, the production of olive oil is also reported. The cultivation of wines and fruit trees was, in fact, promiscuous. Particularly interesting is a note reported from the year 1712. It was such a stormy year that it ruined the whole country, both of grapes, as of Sorgi and Saracini. It could be said that it left nothing, since it stormed all summer on every moon, and then provided to confiscate all of them on August 18, to such a point that it suits me better to buy wine for the need of my home. So no one in Cormons had it worse than me, since he did not leave me a tree or a vine that did not undo it. And then, storms of winds so terrible that it caused me immense damage over the covers of the house and thatched roofs broken down to the ground. I made this memory truly to be an unusual thing, and never again in memory of man has such a massacre been heard. Francesco had bought land from Mattia Strasoldo in Borgnano. From the estimate of these lands, conducted by the settler Pietro Mucchiuto, large trees married to the vine in both parts, number 695, young trees married to the vine, number 773, stumps without the trees, number 288, big willows and poplars with vines, number 106, over 1,500 vine plants. An estimate of the properties of Marianna Pienese Locatelli dates back to 1741, in the Novali located in the district of the land of Cormons, from which the system of cultivation of the vine is inferred, often married to fruit trees, plum, pear, cherry, apples, walnut trees, other times planted alone. The 18th century is a century in which the Arcadia Romano and the prestigious agricultural society were born. This last one continued its activity until the First World War. Experiments, innovations, tips, and publications that will also be helpful to Langoris. In 1785, it was decided to proceed with a classification of the best wines of the county in terms of their goodness, and each community had to deliver the extracts of the land. For the villages of Doberdo and Sagrado, Delivery was to be made in April 1787 at the Locatelli home in Gradisca. By April 15 of that year, even the owners had to declare the wines produced, Refoschi, Ribolla, and Cividino. Among the signatories who expressed their opinion, we find Cecilia de Locatelli. In the Napoleonic period, it was the chief finance officer, Baron Kircher, who described the production of what was called coglio, meaning a chain or a complex of hills. The greatest, or rather the only product, is that of white wines highly sought after from Germany, to which they are sold for great cash. However, the article in which his territory abounds is that of every fruit of every kind. Novalli was sold in 1861 and purchased by Baron Giuseppe Formentini, whose wife, Ernestina de Claricini, was the daughter of Cecilia Locatelli. The underground cellar, now owned by Franco and Renato Toros, well-known wine growers, is perfectly preserved. In 1859, Formentini published a memo on the usefulness of the settlers' association in rural work, in practice a mutual aid company. The idea of a joint stock wine company was also born. A few years later, in 1872, he and the Locatellis decided to deprive themselves of some land, almost a restitution of what had been received two centuries earlier, to make it available to the farmers and to avoid their emigration. They were spurred on by Carlo Colombicchio, promoter of the agricultural and farmhouse reform, with this intervention. We come now to another example of association for the vineyard. In Cormons, precisely between the Stabile d'Angoris and San Quirino, there is an extension of unfavorable land for the cultivation of cereals. Well, this portion of funds is alienable and to be disposed of in bodies of about 40 to 50 and more fields, so that you could consider two or three large bodies to be reduced to a vineyard of about 40 to 50 fields per each, and at very small distance from each other. Who writes could have about 20 fields in that region and would sell them still being a shareholder. He would do so without claiming a dividend for the period of 8 years. The Baron Locatelli, which owns large quantities of funds in those parts, would not oppose to the certainty of transferring it for about 50 or more fields. And the same could perhaps be said of the Baroni Formentini brothers. After the modification of the borders following the Third War of Independence in 1866, there were positive repercussions. In 1878, a newspaper wrote, "In the last decade, the landlords sold country products at fabulous prices." In 1866, Giovanni Fasiolo, Castaldo di Campolongo, wrote, "The worst is of white wine. I was hoping to make him go immediately, and instead now everyone is running to Cormons, where they find it of a better quality and at a better price." In 1868, in August, an evening of Gesangsverein, the singing society, is hosted in Angoris by Karl von Ritter. A detailed description is given by the Gorizia newspaper, Gürzer Zeitung, in German, translated here. In the room where a splendid buffet was prepared, in this room, a very successful Liedertafel was improvised, and choruses, quartets, and toasts followed in rapid succession. The first of these, of course, was for the landlord, Baron Locatelli, and his amiable family. Then, Ritter remembered the multinational character of the association, German, Italian, and Slavic, obtaining a thunderous applause. During the cheerful party, with about 100 people, an excellent picolit was served until late at night, which the Baron obtains from his vineyards. A periodical from Trieste, animated by nationalism, criticized the party by writing that the defendants were welcomed with two salami, an undrinkable wine, and a couple of watermelons, and was immediately denied with shrewd irony, defining the miserable correspondent sent and author of the note as an ignorant who showed his familiarity with pumpkins. For Cormons, the number of railway passengers increased from 37,000 in 1870 to 65,000 2 years later. Also, the goods departing from 18,000 was raised to 1870 to 65,000 in 1872. It had even been thought of creating economic railways with secondary lines also from Romans to Cormons, a project for tourism and for the sale of wine estimated to be 20,000 hectolitres. At the Agricultural, Industrial, and Fine Arts Exhibition held in Trieste in September 1871, Baron Michele Locatelli of Cormons, from his Angoris vineyards, brings common black meal wine, luxury white, pure muscat, and black liquor wine. In 1888, a wine fair takes place in Trieste at the Rossetti Theatre, and 16 exhibitors arrive from the province of Gorizia, including Locatelli, Baron Michele Cormons, with Riesling 87, fine meal wine, which wins the honorable mention, 1887, common red wine, 1887, Bordeaux red wine. Experiments were in vogue. Our vine growers demonstrate the special qualities of our local and foreign grapes that deserve to extend in large portions on our soil, urged a landowner from Cormons. Four sample vineyards were planted in the area in different positions and terrains. The first sample that follows here is placed somewhat on the high ground in marly soil with a little clay, and is composed of 1,000 feet of Rifosco di Cormons vines as the base of the plant, then 1,500 feet of the following qualities, namely Carmenet, Neushaut, Gros Bidure and Gros Verdot of Bordeaux, Lambrusca and Generosa from Piedmont, Burgunder Blau and Portuguese Blau del Reno, Pinot Noir from Burgundy, and Cerlienac from Dalmatia. Then, a vineyard of white grapes on a gentle slope towards midday, soil almost equal to the first. 1,400 feet of local Cividino vines as a base, 600 of white Burgundy, 400 of Rhine Riesling, 400 from Malvasia of Istria, plus 8 other samples of various white grapes still. Follows a vineyard of black grapes on the plain with a gentle slope located further west in marly soil mixed with clay but looser than the first two, with 1,500 feet of Burgundy grapes and 500 feet of Kadarka from Hungary, Gros Verdot, Gros Bidura, Neushaut, and Piquet di Bordeaux. For the quality of the soil and the position of these vineyards, a square meter was assigned between line and line as between stump and stump. Finally, in the plain, in somewhat gravelly ground, the following sample of black grape vines was experimented, namely 1,200 feet of Rifoscone d'Istria grapes, 1,000 of Burgundy, and 800 feet of Corvino and Pignol from Cormons, Dalmatian Cerlienac and Plavats, Carmenet of Bordeaux, and Burgunder Blau of the Rhine. Gorizia, 1891. Fourth Austrian Wine Congress. The important event is chaired by Count Francesco Coronini Kronberg, assisted by Gorizia owners including Baron Locatelli. In the annals of the R School of Viticulture and Enology of 1893, on page 120, Carlotta reads, "In the afternoon, the group went to the villa of Mr. Baron M. Locatelli in Angoris, to visit and see its magnificent cattle stables, horse stables, the storage of agricultural machines, the preparation of feed, the cooking technique with a special steam appliance, and its extensive estate cultivated with vineyards, meadows, and cereals. During the lunch, courtesy of the rich baron, the excellent wines of his cellars were served. On 28 July 1898, the Zanon Institute ascertained that in Angoris, or Longoris, in the courtyard of the Villa Locatelli, there is a rather ancient well, deep, meters 19.5, which had 7 meters of water and 13 degrees. It is equipped with pulleys. The cane is cluttered with vegetation. Perhaps Giorgio Locatelli was expanding the company, since the official bulletin of the Italian Ministry of Agriculture in 1908 shows that the resolution of June 5, 1903 was cancelled. It was supposed to grant the release of part of the forest of Romagno, Cividale, which was already part of the Kingdom of Italy, and like Cormons, which was Austria-Hungary, by the Udine Forestry Committee. Wine production became one of the main assets of the Gorizia trade. Starting in 1887, there was a progressive increase, 1,000 hectolitres, and then another surge until reaching 500,000 hectolitres in 1913. In full conflict, in 1914, the Italian Wine Journal informed that experiments were carried out in Kronberg by Count Coronini, where you will see the experiences of watering the vines, in Villanova by the noble De Tomaseo, in Langoris by Baron Giorgio von Locatelli. Also the following year, in the Italian Agricultural Experimental Stations organ of the Stations that picks up the news published in Zeitschrift für das Landwirtschaftliche Versuchswesen, it is reported. In the various wine-growing regions of the province, the comparative spraying tests against late blight that was carried out in the following places. 1. In the mixed vineyard of the Experimental Institute itself. 2. To the Slovenian section of the Provincial Agricultural School of Gorizia in a red Burgundy vineyard. 3. At the administration of the farm of the Sisters of Charity in Rosenthal, near Gorizia, in a mixed vineyard. 4. In the administration of Baron G. Locatelli in Langoris of Cormons, Upper Friuli, in the vineyards of Blau Frankisch, Franconia. In the villa, there are still the labels printed in Vienna, which bear the inscription Giorgio Barone Locatelli, with two medals, that of the Austro-Hungarian Agricultural Industrial Fair of Trieste of 1882, probably the bronze medal for grapes and fruits received from Locatelli Baron Michele in Cormons, and that of Gorizia, dated 1884. There is one of Riesling, one of Ribolla, one of Tokajer, and one of Picolet. Ribolla is an indigenous white grape variety. There are several sub-varieties, as is the green Ribolla, the yellow Ribolla, the Gargania. Almost all of the Collio vineyards are made up of these, with predominance of Gargania and yellow Ribolla. The latter is to be considered the best of all and deserving with every respect of further cultivation. Picolet is used for the packaging of that very fine holy wine, so well known by the name of Picolet, that in good years it can compete with Tokaj. In fact, in Gorizia, they had written in 1781 that the land on Mount Medea was like the one where Tokaj was born in Hungary. But it is striking that Michele Locatelli was also bottling Riesling. In Trieste, at the 1888 fair, it took the honorable mention. Both varieties were present in the Gorizia, both the one called Walsh Riesling or Riesling Italico, of mediocre quality, without a special taste, rather acidic and hard to clarify because it often has a sweet streak, and the Rhine Riesling of the Germans, or gentle aromatic of the French. This was done in Angoris. Its wine is not very alcoholic and becomes fragrant already in the first year. If you leave the must, free from the stalks, ferment in contact with the peels for about 12 hours. A longer maceration extracts coloring matter from the skins and then it becomes bright yellow. The analyses of our Riesling gave from 10.2 to 11.9% of alcohol and from 5.9 to 6.6% of acidity. In our region, Riesling is recommended for not too arid and hot locations and should give merit products on the Collio Hills. However, it is better to plant it in fertile lands and help it with good fertilizations. Otherwise, it is too unproductive. Moreover, even in the plan it is very successful, giving furthermore wine rich in acids. The advice Giovanni Bolle, director of the IR Agricultural Chemistry Experimental Institute and vice president of IR Agricultural Society of Gorizia, gave had been wisely followed. Years earlier, Zanelli wrote about it in the Bullettino of 1869. We know that on the well-cultivated hills of Cormons, the attempt is being made to cultivate the Rhine grapes, the Riesling before and now the Traminer, which gives the best colored wines, and it is certain that they are already taking root properly. After the Second World War, the cellars of Palazzo Locatelli, today the town hall, will host the review of the typical wines of Cormons. Angoris sent us the Pinot Grigio for tasting, says one of the tasters. The color is slightly coppery, dark. Fruity aromas of peach emerge to the nose. Chapter 7, Fruit Cultivation. I want an expert on peach farming. Here in the Cormons area and throughout the Collio, viticulture has always been accompanied by fruit growing. Cherries, plums, explains Luigi Miani to his brothers. Musnik wrote it in his work, Clima Goriziense, in 1781, but even Giuseppe Formentini, in an 1853 manuscript, a few years before buying Novari's estate from his wife's cousins, tells the posterity, "The fruits of the Collio enjoy fame on the market. Whether you want them fresh, you want them prepared or peeled and stuffed like plums, fig, and pear, which, placed in well-assembled boxes, are shipped by means of the Maritza house to Northern Europe and in America." In 1882, on the occasion of the fifth centenary of Trieste's dedication to Austria, the government organized there an important agricultural industrial exhibition. Among the winners, we find Locatelli Baron Michele Cormons, bronze medal for grapes and fruit. At the end of the 19th century, the Cormons market had become the outlet for fruit production throughout the Collio. According to data collected in 1899 by Gastone di Colombicchio, it should be noted of cherries alone on that market from May 4 to July, as many as 5,664 quintals of a value of about 130,000 florins arrived. While in July, throughout the month of October, other 7,994 quintals of other fruit were weighed. Pears, apples, peaches, plums, apricots, figs, grapes, chestnuts, dried moly. The prices of cherries in the days of maximum reception ranged between 15 and 22 florins per quintal. In the days following the First War, this not indifferent economic source for the Gorizia Hills and the work of Ernesto Massi is stimulated again. The Geographic Environment and Economic Development in Gorizia, printed in 1933, does not go without being noticed by the smart Miani. Massi was a university professor in Milan and Pavia, founder of the Geopolitica magazine, friend of Minister Bottai. In the hilly area, next to the cherry tree, the peach tree has made considerable progress in recent years, and more likely to do so if the crops are oriented towards the selected and most profitable varieties. In the post-war period, more than 20,000 plants were placed, while production reached a remarkable figure of 5,700 quintals against a provincial production of 6,500 quintals. So, in the immediate aftermath of the Second World War, the Mianis hired Pietro Martinis, 44 years old at the time, as their director of Angoris. He remained a colleague of theirs until 1959. He was born, in fact, June 24, 1902, in the castle of Porpetto in the province of Udine. He enrolled in 1918 at the Royal Practical School of Agriculture for the province of Udine in Pozzuolo del Friuli, finishing his studies with the acquisition of the title of Gastaldo. He then attended further specialization courses in the livestock and dairy sectors in Reggio Emilia, as well as the viticulture one in Conegliano Veneto. Operating arm, but also creative for the Mianis, he carried out a long and passionate work as a breeder of fruit varieties, above all of peach, but also of pear and apple tree. In Angoris, in fact, he continues its activity started in Fogliano with a Cosolos and creates the varieties Flavia, Fior di Monaco, and Cormonese, all with yellow flesh. The first with medium late ripening, the other two early. Also, Iris Rosso and Bayer, early but with white flesh. Cavalier Martinis is still defined today as father of Isentine peach farming. In fact, the cultivations he created, collectively called Isentine varieties or Martinis varieties, have undoubtedly played a decisive role in the development of peach cultivation in the dedicated areas of the Friuli Plain. Almost 100 hectares of orchards are planted on the Miani estate. Peaches are marketed in Italy and abroad, especially in Munich and Vienna. The railway wagons, loaded in the company, leave from the Cormons station, while the second quality ones are destined for transformation. The Angoris company is visited by many technicians and academics from the fruit sector. Tens of hectares of peach trees are also planted in the various colonies, from Mariano to Gradisca. It is even spoken of in foreign magazines. Apart from being a passionate thoroughbred horse breeder, the Count had a passion for peach tree cultivations, which covered large areas of the countryside around the village of Mariano near Cormons, Gradisca. He selected early peach varieties, which were sought after by the markets. At least 200 varieties of white or yellow flesh peaches with different ripening periods for fresh consumption come from an idea of the Martinis. He used as parents some of the main cultivars with international diffusion and also some varieties he made himself. In addition to those mentioned, the Savoiarda, Orchidea, Gardenia, Santa Lucia, San Giusto, Trevisana varieties are also mentioned, as well as the very early East 23. The characteristics of the main peach varieties constituted by Martinis have been treated with different depth by various authors. As mentioned, it also constituted some types of palm fruit, which, however, had no luck. The pear cultivars De Canna del Friuli and Goriziana Rosa are particularly worthy of mention. Cavalier Martinis is still spoken of today at a conference in Fiumicello, and then with a book, The Martinis Peaches: History, Characters and Evolution of Peach Farming in Friuli Venezia Giulia. Edited by Marco Gani of the ARPA and Pietro Zandi Giacomo, professor at the University of Udine. Thanks to the innovative work carried out in Angoris, this enchanted place that gave birth to the so-called Miani race of galloping horses, where exceptional wines have been born for centuries, even peaches have become protagonists. Martini's determination has produced the varieties with the best organoleptic qualities, adaptation to the local climate, resistance to pests, and, not least, capability of supporting the income of farms. There are some still grown in other Italian regions, such as Veneto, Emilia-Romagna, and Campania. As pointed out by the authors of the book who interviewed his son, Dr. Arturo Martinis, and some of his elderly collaborators, including Duilio Gon, we have also to remember the interest in the improvement of the pear tree, for example using the local variety Perofico as a parent, the development of the apple variety, the development of viticulture with the enhancement of the indigenous grape variety Refosco dal peduncolo rosso. The fruit harvest is over. The workers are called back from the countryside. Din don, din don, din don. The two small bells placed at the top of the farm buildings that guard the entrance to the Langoris Villa ring to warn that the working day is over.